Good evening, with a look at your latest local news. I'm Jevi Ebanks.
So at this time, I invite you to stand for a brief moment of silence for Inspector O'Neilly. Thank you.
The Royal Cayman Islands Police Service today marked the passing of Detective Inspector Collins O'Mule. His death was announced on Thursday. O'Mule served for 30 years, most of them in the Criminal Investigation Department, leading probes into serious and violent crimes across the Cayman Islands. His portfolio included high-profile murders and complex investigations involving bigamy and blackmail. The RCIPS says his expertise and dedication earned international recognition and helped shape the department's success. Commissioner Kurt Walton called him an integral member of the service and the community. He passed away on February 19th and will be laid to rest in Nigeria. A memorial service will follow in Cayman with details to be announced. In other police news,
today marks a significant milestone towards the continued professionalism of our police service. For me, why this matters? Our communities rightly deserve professionalism, accountability, and competent police officers at every single level of the organization.
A new era for the Royal Cayman Islands Police Service with the launch of the new Leadership and Management Program in partnership with City and Guilds. Police Commissioner Kurt Walton says the program is bespoke, reportedly written for leadership in the profession of policing.
These are our future leaders, whether as sergeants, as inspectors, or as chief inspectors. So everyone you see sat around the table are our future leaders. And for me, it's important to create a resilient organization and a lot of young faces so we can look. I'm looking 10, 20 years out that when I'm gone, when the rest of the senior command team are no longer here, I can leave this organization in a safe pair of hands.
Governor Jane Owen and Deputy Governor the Honorable Franz Manderson were among the attendees, both congratulating the RCIPS on the launch of the program. When lawmakers meet in the House on Wednesday, one of the items up for debate is a move to push the mandatory retirement age of civil servants. Radio Cayman's Carsley Fuller has more with opposition MPs.
In addition to about half a dozen government bills covering things like littering, traffic rules, and lands, there's a rare private bill hitting the floor this time around.
What it seeks to do is to increase the normal retirement age in the civil service. It is presently 65. The proposal is to take it to 70 years. This is a private bill. It's being brought by Mr. Christopher Saunders.
Georgetown MP Roy McTaggart told Radio Cayman's For the Record listeners the Progressives' opposition members were scheduled to meet with the deputy governor this week to discuss feasibility. Deputy leader of the PPM, Kenneth Bryan.
There's obviously some pros, but there potentially could be some significant cons. So we're doing our due diligence and we'll have our position available by time we debate it in Parliament.
Mr. Bryan says his team understands the intent behind the bill.
Because there's a lot of people who are now retiring at 65 and still cannot afford to retire. And knowing the member well, the Honorable Christopher Saunders that filed it, I think that's his intention. But we want to make sure that we're not doing what the government is doing, is unfortunately, in our opinion, rushing a lot of things without considering all factors.
Make sure to tune in to Radio Cayman's sister station, Breeze 105.3 FM, at 2 p.m. on Wednesday to hear the proceedings live.
The Cayman Islands has recorded its strongest January on record, welcoming 47,047 visitors, a 13.6% increase over last year and 9.7% above previous January records set in 2020. Combined stayover and cruise arrivals total 192,754 visitors, marking the second consecutive month of record-setting performance following December's historic results. Tourism officials say the destination enters 2026 with momentum, supported by expanded airlift across major gateways. Minister of Tourism and Trade, the Honorable Gary Rutte, says the milestone reflects the success of government's tourism strategy, citing investments in airlift, global marketing, and industry partnerships. He says double-digit growth from major markets show the Cayman Islands remains a highly competitive and premium destination. The U.S. remained the largest source market with 37,879 visitors, up 11.2% year-on-year and setting a new January record. The Midwest saw the strongest gains at 12.8%, supported by expanded service from Chicago and Detroit. The South grew 6.9% and the West rose to 2.9%, driven by increased traffic from Denver. Canada delivered 5,151 stayover tourists, a 38.6% increase and the highest monthly total ever recorded. Expanded airlift from Toronto and Ottawa, including new services from Porter Airlines, boosted seat capacity by 89%. Arrivals from the UK and Ireland also rose 11.4%, while continental Europe increased 14%, led by Germany. Officials credit continued investment in public relations and trade engagements across the region. On to inbound seat capacity from the US, Canada, and UK via Nassau reached 90,060 seats in January, an increase of 18,750. Between February and May, the destination is projected to gain 44,000 additional seats compared to the same period in 2025. Hotel performance also remains strong, with reportings of a 6% increase in the average daily rate. Director of Tourism Rosa Harris says the results reflect deliberate, data-driven decisions to expand airlift in high-performing markets, positioning the Cayman Islands for continued growth throughout the rest of the year. Radio Cayman Evening News. The Health Services Authority's Public Health Department has released its March flu vaccination schedule. From March 2nd to the 31st, flu shots will be available Monday to Friday at all district health centers from 2:30 to 4 p.m. on Grand Cayman. Locations include Bodentown, West Bay, Northside, East End, and Smith Road Medical Center. No appointment is required and vaccinations are offered on a first-come, first-served basis while supplies last. Residents in the Sister Islands are asked to contact the public health for clinic details. For Cayman BRAC 244-7643 and for Little Cayman 916-5395. Governor Jane Owen has announced the winners of the 2025 Governor's Award for Design and Construction Excellence, presented at the Government House this week. Radio Cayman's Elizabeth Charles reports.
Now in its 15th year, the award recognizes projects that show excellence in design innovation, sustainability, and construction quality across the Cayman Islands. The residential award went to the Aldine Franklin House, a carefully restored traditional timber home in East End that preserves Cayman's architectural character while improving resilience and environmental performance. The commercial award went to the John Gray High School, a transformational campus for more than 1,000 students that also serves as a hurricane shelter for over 3,000 people. The governor says the program showcases the talent, ambition, and confidence of the Cayman Islands to the wider world. For Radio Cayman News, I'm Elizabeth Charles.
I want to encourage families and community members to nominate at least one deserving young person.
Starting Sunday, it's your chance to put in a name, or maybe even two, in the running for this year's Proud of Them Recognition Awards. Youth Minister, the Honorable Isaac Rankin.
We have no shortage of brilliant young people who are excelling across many fields, and they deserve to be recognized and celebrated.
Caymanians between the age of 10 and 25 can be nominated, including by themselves. After the review process, 15 youth honorees and two rising stars will be recognized at the annual gala in November. Over the past 13 years, the program's alumni network has grown to 180 Caymanians. The submission deadline is the 21st of March. Head over to youthservices.ky/proudofthem for more information. Finally, it's, quote, an important step for making sure local young people have their say, as the National Trust announces its new Youth Advisory Committee. The committee will work alongside the Trust's Environmental Advisory Committee and Historic Advisory Committee, quote, strengthening inclusive and forward-thinking decision-making at the council level. Katie Ebanks is serving as the chair of the inaugural Youth Advisory Committee. That's your latest local news. I'm Jevy Ebanks.